But we also want to, we just celebrated July 4th, Freedom, our Independence Day, the United States of America. But let's honor the one today who set us free in the Spirit. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So we honor him. But we also honor all of the service men and women who fought for our personal freedom and that country's freedom. We honor you. And we just want to bless you because you made a sacrifice. You made a sacrifice for not only your families and your lives, but also for this nation. So we honor you today. But we honor, first of all, the Lord Jesus who brought freedom into our lives. Hallelujah. I mean, you know what, I think of 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now where the Lord is, the Spirit of the Lord is, what, there's freedom. We have a freedom in this place. We have freedom in the United States. We can preach the truth of the gospel. Today, we don't know how long, but today we can stand here and preach what the Bible says, and we're free to do that. We have that freedom. And today, God wants to do some new things in our lives. Amen? Always when we get together, God wants to do things for us. And we're honored to stand here. My name is John Helmuth. I'm a little Amish boy from Kelowna. I married a Pentecostal pastor's daughter when I was 22 years of age. And my whole life changed. And now we go to the nations of the world. We're privileged to preach the gospel. And thank you for all of your support and prayers as we go. The next trip we're planning is the middle of August to go to Mexico and do a conference down there in Victoria, Padilla, Mexico, if you know where that is, about 200 miles in from McAllen area. So we covet your prayers. But we have seen the Lord do so much in the nations. Literally, seen him perform miracles, set people free, deliver people. And it's no greater honor than to be able to go back the next year or a few months later and someone come up and say, look at me, I'm free. Look at me, I'm healed. But see, I don't do that. The Holy Spirit flows through us, that works through us, imparts to us. Hallelujah. I want to talk about impartation today. We'll go to Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We want to read those. Hallelujah. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Wouldn't it be great? Hallelujah. Thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you for that word, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord, through your word. Encourage us through your word. In the name of Jesus. But wouldn't it be great that every time we got together that we would say, I want to impart a spiritual gift to you. You know, we'd just impart something. Every time we got together with people that this would be, our desire would be to impart something. And I want to do an example. And it's so easy. Impart means to convey. So I want to convey to my brother a gift. It's very simple, you know. It's not very difficult that to convey something or impart something. And so I want to convey a gift to this sister right here. Okay? Or impart. And something probably that maybe you won't forget, but it's just a very simple example. But when we come together, Paul says, I have a whole flock of people in Rome. And he said, my desire is to go in fellowship with them. I want to impart to them a gift. I hope you like blue, but there's a gift. Hallelujah. But impart something, and we always impart. You may not believe that, but Brother Paul, he was imparting all the time. And everywhere he went, he was imparting gifts, and we'll get some scripture later to back this up. But here he was, a mature apostle called by God, a leader, ready to disciple more people than he could even imagine. and have the church grow. So the theme for this church, this Open Bible Church, Pastor Cody talked about it, but is grounded, right? Grounded in the Word, growing and going. And this is what Paul was doing. He was grounded in the Word, and he was now going to speak to his flock in Rome, and he was going to disciple them and train them, and hopefully that congregation would grow and become bigger. So he was imparting spiritual gifts into their lives so that they would be able to be mature. You're quiet. Grow, become strong, yeah, and be a better person, really. And these people were what? They were all kinds of people. They were converts of his ministry. I think some were educated, some were uneducated. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians. It doesn't matter who they were. He's ready to teach them about God's love and impart to them. Are you hearing me? Impart to them something that changes their life. Spiritual gifts, he says here. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The power of God's word changes people's lives. The word of God changed my life. The word of God changes your life. But those people who don't know the Lord, it will change their life. Well, just we shouldn't really preach the word. We can talk about news and everything that's happening and, you know, dumb down our sermons. No, no. We come with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit so that you know what's true and what's not true, so that you know how to stay alive, how to be victorious in your life. We're always imparting. Every time you come together, we impart something. Oh, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm not feeling very good. Oh, you look sad today. Or, are you hurt? You know, we're always imparting. It's not, I'm not feeling good. Our spirit conveys or imparts something to you when we see you. I read many years ago that we impact in our lifetime, or really affect in our lives, 6 to 9 people. We make a difference in 6 to 9 people in our lifetime. But in fact, they say about the age of 5, you start remembering people. And if you live to be around 80 years old, if you meet 2 or 3 people a day, are you hearing me? That by the time you die, you will have reached from 60,000 to 80,000 people you have met or talked to. And in this time, you've had a chance or an opportunity to speak to them life, maybe a hello or a smile. Can you imagine at the end of your life that all the people that you met would gather in a stadium? I mean, some of these football stadiums hold 60, 70,000 people. All of those people in that stadium, and you were down on a platform, and all of those people would say, "I met you. You said hi to me. You smiled at me. I was down. You just said, have a good day." Can you imagine how that would feel? But really, this is true. We meet and impact different people every day. That's just 2 or 3. My wife and I, we see many more people than that, and most of you see more people than that in a day. We were at a funeral this year, at the beginning of the year, sometime this spring. And the pastor was giving the message, and he said, "Those of you who have been impacted by the life of this person in the casket, will you stand?" And most of the congregation stood. This person was dead, but they were a believer. And they were a true believer. And so the people that were there remembering this person were impacted by... It was a woman, this person's life. She was a godly woman. We don't know how we touch people's lives. Many years ago, well, not so many years ago, we were in Kansas City. We had ministered in a church, and we went out to supper at a buffet. And as we were eating, I said to my wife, "You see that older couple over there in the booth? The Lord just spoke to me that I need to go pray for them." And I said, "I don't really want to pray for them. I'm here to eat." No, but he went. She said, "Well, if he said that, you better go do it." So they got up, and she said, "They're leaving." I said, "Oh, I think they're going for dessert." So when they went and sat down, I quickly went over to the table. I said to the gentleman, and his wife had a big bandage on her arm like a cast. And I looked at the gentleman. I said, "Could I pray for you?" He says, "What would you pray for?" I said, "First of all, I would just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. But it looks like your wife needs a miracle in her arm and needs a healing." I said, "Can I pray for that?" "Yes, yes." So we prayed a simple prayer. And when I was done, he looked up at me and he said, "No one has ever prayed for us before." And we have a world full of those kind of people. "No one has ever prayed for us before." It touched my life. The pastor that was there gave him a card of their church and found out that they only lived maybe a half a mile from the church. And we don't know whatever happened, but possibly they were able to minister to them. Prayerfully, they were able to minister to them. So we always impact each person that we meet. Represents at least one opportunity that we had to make a positive impact. Amen? What kind of impact do you leave as you're walking down the street? You're yelling and screaming, or you're smiling. So who imparted to you? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starts with verse 5, but before that, Paul's talking to Timothy. "I remember you in my prayers day and night," he says, "and I long to see you." And then verse 5, he says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you." Hallelujah. I know that faith, that same faith continues strong in you. I've heard this so many times. My wife and I have heard this so many times. We're here in this place because somebody was praying for me. I had a godly grandmother who prayed. I had a mother who prayed. I had a mom and dad who were godly. They showed me how to be a Christian. I had a friend who loved me and cared for me. And I'm here today because they shared the love of God in my life. My dad, my mother, Shirley's dad and mother, friends of ours, impacted our lives. And we're here today serving God, going to the nations because a mama and a papa took us to the nations and showed us how to do it. Mama and Papa Dorn, very dear friends of ours. Papa will be 90, I think, in October, and Mama in February. I'm serving God today because somebody cared. Somebody impacted my life. Whose life are you impacting? Whose life are you imparting to? Verse 6. "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Are you seeing this? There's an impartation when we lay hands on people. Paul, I believe in this season of Timothy's life, maybe because of the separation and the tears that they had, and maybe some of the disagreements they had, that maybe some of those gifts were lying a little bit dormant. But Paul says, "I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you." When? When you were ordained into the ministry, when God called you and we prayed for you and laid hands on you. There are impartation gifts that are imparted. Hallelujah. The Amplified says, "That's why I remind you to fan into flames the gracious gift of God, that inner fire through spiritual endowment." And today I believe that many of you have gifts in this place. Can I say it? Laying dormant. And I hope today that the Holy Spirit comes and starts blowing His presence, moving His presence into your life so that the gifts that are lying dormant in your life will come to life. That you will be able to do the work of the Lord like never before. That you will have the authority and the power you need in your life to meet people and make an impact. Hallelujah. Dormant gifts don't do the Lord any good. Don't help the church grow. Don't help the work of the Lord grow. But gifts that are alive and moving and powerful bring glory to God. Hallelujah. They're spiritual gifts. In Deuteronomy 34 in 9 it says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him." Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because there was an impartation from Moses into his life. And so now he was filled with the spirit and the gifts that he was able to lead the children of Israel into the promises of God by impartation. We go on. Verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline, self-control, sound mind." French Bible says wisdom. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, a fear that comes from our old sinful nature. I always say it began in Genesis 3:10. I won't read it, but if you want to read it for yourself. But that's where we first hear about the spirit of fear. Before there was no fear. But when sin came into the lives of Adam and Eve, there was fear that came with it. And so when we walk in fear, we're not very powerful. But Paul is saying to us, the church, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But He's given us what? He's empowered us. Oh, hallelujah. To stand against these fleshly fears. He's empowered us so that we don't stay back and say nothing. Stand back and say, "Brother Steve, Brother so-and-so, you can do it. I'm not going to do anything. I've paid my dues." But today, there's many people who are dying without Christ. So if spiritual gifts can be conveyed or imparted by the laying on of hands, is it possible that evil gifts can be conveyed as well? Watch out and know who lays hands on you. I mean it with all my heart. Don't let the devil lay hands on you or somebody who's living in sin and not living pure before the Lord lay their hands on you. Reminder, okay, be careful. But we need the power of God to stand against the fears that we have naturally because of our sinful nature. We need the power of God to love, to have compassion, to care about the lost and less fortunate people in this world. Now there's a man, and I may have related to this in some of my other services, but Brother Chi-Ping Wong wrote a book, Fulfilling Prophetic Destiny of the Philippines in Missions in the 21st Century through the Asian Pacific Ministries and Evangelistic Network. But he wrote that in Matthew 24 and verse 14, when it says, when the gospel has been preached to all the world and all the nations, that word nation, it means ethnic in the Hebrew or the Greek. I think it's a Greek, means ethnic. ethnos. And that means people of the same language, the same culture, that are growing together, working together. So in the Philippines, there are over 300 ethnos groups. Not one nation, but 300 ethnos groups. It says that there are 24,000 ethnos groups in the world. The church has not reached 10,000 of those ethnos groups. And out of that, 50,000 people are dying daily without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, which ends up being almost 2.1 billion. I better look at my notes. Sounds a little high. 2.1 million souls. 18 million souls a year. There's 2.1 billion people that haven't been reached for the gospel yet. And out of that, 50,000 people are dying daily without Christ. We have a work to do, church. We can't sit around on our couch, and we got to get out there. And thank you to all of those who are helping us build churches in the Philippines. Praise God. We're moving into areas where they don't know the gospel. We're moving into areas where there is no church. We're building churches where there are no churches. And every time a church is built, it's full and overflowing. Almost every church that we've built, helped build in the Philippines, they've had to extend and find more space. So there's a hunger there. We need to feed that hunger with the gospel. Hallelujah. So thank you, church, for helping us build churches in the Philippines. Some of you have sacrificed and given. Thank you, because souls that were never touched for Jesus before are being touched today because you have given. Hallelujah. You know, it's God's love that makes it available to be reunited and accepted into the kingdom of heaven. Our relationship with God shows people God's love. Our relationship with God shows other people God's love. You're the only Bible some people will read. Amen? So we have imparted power to control ourselves, to have self-discipline, self-control, imparted power by the Holy Spirit, so we can live a pure and holy life in obedience to God's word. You can live holy. That's the power. Amen? God has given us imparted power to witness. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That imparted power is dunamis in the Greek, which means, hallelujah, it's something that reproduces itself. Hallelujah. So we could go on and on. Imparted power to stand against the enemy. Imparted power to be a witness. Starts at home. It starts in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Dunamis from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Imparted power that reproduces. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living in a godly life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to have to leave the auditorium for a minute. Will you please stand and just keep in worship, all right? Thank you, Lord. Always a first, I guess. Hallelujah. I'm still not afraid to stand in front of you and preach the gospel. Because of wickedness, the Lord wanted to kill everybody that He created. Because of wickedness. It says their mind was wicked, their heart was evil. They were anti-God, and God was going to kill His whole race, but says there was one man, and I talked about it on Father's Day. There was one man, his name was Noah, who was found grace or favor in the eyes of God. And because of that, his family ushered in the bloodline for Christ to be born. So don't say that you're not important, because if you live righteous before the Lord and you follow the Lord, he can use you. He can use you to impact not only your family, but nations and years to come. God is able to do things through you as a man or as a woman or as a young person. You have gifts that have been given you. Hallelujah. There are 9 gifts that it talks about in the Bible that have been imparted through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'll read them. Words of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, one Holy Spirit distributing to every saint what is needed for their lives. Amen? So there's an imparted power not only to witness, but for us to have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we need them. And I've seen that. My wife and I have seen that on the nations of the world, that when we need a gift, that the Holy Spirit brings that gift forth. You need a miracle. God works through us for miracles. We've seen legs grow. We've seen things like this happen because of the imparted power that God puts in our lives, that it flows through us. It can flow through you. God wants to impart into you. Awaken those gifts that are in you. Fan into flame the gifts that are in you. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit. You know, it comes through the deity of God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, our Savior, and through the Holy Spirit. And if we leave any of these three out of our lives, we become open to the onset, or could we say we can become tripped up, discouraged easily, or become open for the enemy. Because when we, as believers, take the whole gospel, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make it a part of our life, and let him impart into our lives the things that are needed for us every day in our home, at the workplace, wherever we go, you will see a difference. We will see a difference. Because God moves in supernatural ways, ways that we don't understand. He imparts to us things that are needed for our life. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me that this gentleman back here that God wants to impart to you, and I'm going to anoint you with oil, that he wants to impart to you special gifts that, oh, hallelujah, the enemy's tried to take away. And the Lord says, arise, my son, for this is a new season in your life. This is a new day in your life. Hallelujah. There's a breakthrough in that stronghold thing. There's been a stronghold that's come against you and tried to trap you, and the Lord says, I'm breaking through for today. It's a day to be set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Power that recreates. Hallelujah. We go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I'm going to stop there. By his divine power, the same power that is used, the same Greek word there as it is in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. The same dunamis, inherent power that reproduces itself, is used here. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. No more excuses. Oh, I can't help it. No more excuses. Young people, listen to this. When God gives you the authority and the power you need, you don't have to live like the rest of the young people that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You don't have to bow to the things of the world and follow the people of the world. God gives you enough power. What does it say here? Everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, Lord Jesus, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, We go on to verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, endurance, and patient endurance, hallelujah, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word always gives us direction. The Word always encourages us. But by His divine power, He's given us everything we need to live a godly life, to have self-control, do what the Bible tells us to do. If these things abound in you, you will never neither bear nor unfruit. You will always have fruit. You will always produce. How do we know what kind of tree we have or what kind of plant we have? By the fruit, right? Sometimes by the leaves we can tell, but by the fruit we know it's an apple tree or pear tree or cherry tree or whatever. So how do you identify a plant? By their fruit. How do you identify a Christian or a believer? By their fruit. If you go to, we're not going to go there, but if you read Matthew 17 verses 16 to 20, before you're reading it, Jesus describes how you can distinguish between the false and the true. By the fruit. So here God is saying, if you do those things which we read there, all of these things, He supplements our faith, gives us a generous portion of self-control, patience, godliness. All of these are given to us, imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. So that what? We can go on. That we can make a difference. Absolute. Everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Everything that you need, young people. Everything what you need, young, married, single, older, middle-aged. Everything that we need to live a dynamic spiritual life. Full of power, full of victory. If we go backwards, we can always come forward, right? Don't stay lying in the gutter. Don't continue to be deceived. I almost finished, so maybe Brent or the worship team wants to come. We're going to have prayer teams today. But we have a couple more scriptures we're going to talk. But when the Holy Spirit imparts power to you, there's a change that comes. Hallelujah. For this lady right here, the Lord's been speaking to me all day about you, that there's so much going on. I don't know anything, but the Holy Spirit does. But He says, I see the hand of the Lord coming down and just touching you today. And there's going to be a calmness that comes upon you, because you're going to feel that peace. When God touches you, there's a peace. And that peace breaks everything of the enemy. The chains the enemy has. Strongholds the enemy has. They're going to be broken today in the name of Jesus. So we're going to anoint you with oil, which is imparting to you gifts of healing, gifts of deliverance, gifts of self-control. Hallelujah. Power and might in the name of Jesus. See, God has a plan for your life. Yeah, it's a good one. The enemy wants to kill you, destroy, but God says, I have a good plan. And if you could see it, nothing would ever stop you again if you could see that plan. Bless your Lord. Hallelujah. We have to follow the call of God in our life. There's an impartation that He wants to bring into our life. He wants to bring it into your life today. He wants to stop, and He will stop the enemy if you will allow Him to. That's why when we came in and I felt that heaviness, man, one day off, a couple of days off really makes a difference. Then we got out in doing things and it seemed like the enemy just come in, boom. See, God wants to bring a freedom. And for this couple right here, the Lord is saying that He's going to loosen some things that have held you back. I know you've made a commitment to go all the way, I know that.
I don't have any doubt. The Lord has no doubt. But there's still things of the past that have haunted you and tried to hold you back, and commitments maybe that were made back then that the enemy tries to bring into you. But the Lord says, I'm cutting all of those off. Not one of them will come back to haunt you. But you are totally free to move into the call that's on your life, both of your lives, not just yours. So you're going to see a big change. Why is that? Because you found favor with the Lord, and the blessings of the Lord are going to be released into your finances, into your marriage, to your children, everything that you touch. It's going to be a new day, a new season. That's what God is saying. I'm not saying that, okay? Because I don't really know anything. I know who you are, and that's it. But there's a new day of favor with the Lord. So you enter into that. I'm going to anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus to impart that faith into you. Holy Spirit, come now. You've promised us that you'd do a sweeping. You'd clean up all the mess. You'd sweep it all away. There would be nothing of the past, but only the new things, Lord, that you're bringing. Bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The release. Hallelujah. There's two more scriptures I want to read out of Romans 8, 26 and 7. Most of you know them. Most of you have read them. We don't know how to pray. Many times we don't know how to pray. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's a powerful verse there. There's a divine connection to the throne of God as we pray in the Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor talked about the Holy Spirit. I had an invitation for some of you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. We're not going to do that today, but I want you to know that as you speak in tongues, as you worship the Lord, as you pray in a language that you don't understand, but you know you're supposed to pray, that you connect to the throne of God. You make a spiritual connection. And he imparts into your spirit the things that you need, even that you don't know about. Things that will blow your mind, really. Why? Because we get in tune with God's power. He imparts to us amazing things, a power that goes beyond this mind. He plans for success in your life, victory in your life, blessings in your life, health in your life. He plans for that. As we pray in the Spirit, in that heavenly language, we connect up with that power source. And it changes us. It changes our faith. That faith has been imparted by spiritual leaders and friends and moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. But we need to connect that faith with the throne of God now. And let him take over where we try to do it all ourselves, because we make a mess out of it. That's why we pray in the Spirit, because we come to a place where God supplies everything we need from the time we were born until the time we die. Are you hearing me? From the time we're born till the time we die. God has more than enough, but we never tap into those resources most of the time because we don't pray correctly. The Bible says we pray wrongly. We don't have what we need because we pray amiss, out of line. But when we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, are you hearing me today, church? When we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, we align ourselves with the power of the throne, with the power of God. And God helps us live with the people here on this earth and make a difference. Touch their lives. Hallelujah. So in closing, have you been empowered with the power of God?
Have you been empowered with His touch? With His healing? With His deliverance? First of all, with salvation? Have you let Him forgive you of your sins? Have you asked Him to forgive Him of your sins? Have you asked Him to be Lord of your life? See, all that's possible today because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here to change things that need to be changed. Hallelujah. So we stand today. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. We have prayer teams that are going to come up. You have needs. You have something that you need to be set free from. Or you just need to connect with that power source. I want you to come and find a prayer team that will pray with you. They're godly people. They've prayed and they've waited for an opportunity to share the gospel with you, to pray you through. But before all the rest of you leave, I'm going to pray with you. I want us to pray together. And let's do it as if we knew God was standing right here. And you do that, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love that You have given us and imparted to us Your very presence, that we could live victorious on this earth, that we could live a pure and holy life. So Father, just touch us, all of us, any of us, wherever we need to be touched, wherever we need to be, Lord. Move in our lives in a special way. In ways that we've listened to the enemy and said it's never going to be possible. Forgive us for that, Lord, because we believe that all things are possible if we really believe, because we know that You are Lord of lords, King of kings. There's no one greater than You, so we honor You today. We say, cleanse us, bring purity into our life, forgive us, make us new. And most of all, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Empower us to be the witness You want us to be. In the name of Jesus. If you need to go, you're dismissed. They're going to do another song for us at least and close with prayer. But we have our prayer teams up here. You came in with something you don't need to take home. Come and pray with the prayer team. Come and pray with those who will help you today, okay?
He touched me. And who the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. My soul.